Welcome to Just a Minute. Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you, of course, to the four fabulous, talented people who are playing the game this week. They are Paul Merton, Jennifer Saunders, Julian Clary, and Anna Maxwell-Martin. Please whoop and cheer for all of them. See no reason to change the rules, and so we ask them to speak for 60 seconds on a topic I give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So let's see how we get along with that. Now, Paul.
Yes.
We're going to start with you, if we may. And your subject is, very timely, Boxing Day sales. Can you speak on Boxing Day sales without hesitation, repetition, or deviation for 60 seconds? And your time starts now.
I've bought a variety of different objects during the Boxing Day sales over the years. Apples, bananas, cauliflowers, dentist chairs, Enid Blyton box sets, fire savers, Charles Dickens' Great Expectations, togas, squirrels, windscreen wipers, X-ray machines, Zebedee from Magic Roundabout...
Oh, Anna.
Deviation.
From?
Listing. Just listing.
But those were things he said he'd bought.
I don't believe him.
Ah.
Would you like to see my Zebedee?
It was a wonderful interjection, but on this case, I'm going to keep it with Paul, just because potentially they are things that he could have bought, although I'm going to give Paul a list warning. OK, so he's going to give him a list warning. You've got 37 seconds left, Paul, and your time starts now.
I would like to tell you more about the objects I have bought, but unfortunately there's a ban on that, so I'll...
Julian.
Who buzzed? We had objects right at the beginning before the list.
Right, right.
Yes, correct, challenge and repetition. 33 seconds remaining, Julian. What can you tell us about Boxing Day sales? And your time starts now.
I once slept on the pavement outside Selfridges for 6 weeks prior to the Boxing Day sales. I fancied a beard trimmer, and I don't know why, because I haven't got one of those things growing on my face. Boxing Day sales are where you can pick up a bargain. Things are half price. I met a lovely woman from up north and we spent all of our time chatting away about how much money we were going to save, and we bonded over the Boxing Day sales.
Oh, Paul.
Well, deviation, you mean Boxing Day. That's a different thing altogether.
It's a tough challenge, but, you know, you two are seasoned players of the game, so I will hold you to a higher standard, which is particularly tricky because there's just 4 seconds remaining, but you get the subject back. There was a little bit of hesitation there. So 4 seconds remaining, Boxing Day sales, Paul, starting now.
My boxing...
Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. I've got nothing to say except I wanted to get in on the first one.
And it's important.
Thank you.
And because it's your first show, I think it's probably important that you... Well, why not just have 3 seconds on
no.
Boxing Day sales?
Yes!
Well, why is she allowed 3 seconds and I'm not?
Well, you may well get the benefit of the doubt later.
Can she have 1.5 and I have 1.5?
You're buzzing yourself. In this instant, I'm going to give Jennifer the benefit of the doubt, but you have
what
my
mean
word.
Benefit of the doubt?
Because you are new to the programme, you will both get a chance to speak. And Jennifer's has arrived now with 3 seconds remaining on the clock on Boxing Day sales starting now.
I'm always still too drunk on Boxing Day. Oh, yeah.
Jennifer, a very new player of the game, speaking there as the whistle went, gets the point. And now gets our next topic.
Oh.
Your subject is great, perfectly seasonal. It's a Wonderful Life.
Ah.
That's your subject. You've got 60 seconds on It's a Wonderful Life, Jennifer, starting now.
It's a Wonderful Life is that wonderful film that goes out generally on Christmas Day, or indeed, boxing thing the day... Oh.
You were
I can't get away with
baton.
That. I was.
Anna, you challenged.
Day, day.
Yes. Day, yes.
It's a correct challenge,
not
which means
out.
Anna, you get to the subject. It's a Wonderful Life with 49 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now.
This is interesting because It's a Wonderful Life is a film that I have never seen, much to my own shame and the chagrin of people around me. I am very aware it's a popular...
Oh, Paul.
Hesitation.
Little bit of hesitation.
I'm sorry, should you not be challenged?
I want to turn to Sue now. Jennifer got her little bit of breathing room, didn't she? Do I there?
You will, but you'll get it as and when about 3 seconds. As and when about 3 seconds appear on the clock. Trust me, you might not want to get breathing room now with 33 remaining. So, correct challenge, Paul. 33 seconds on the clock. It's a Wonderful Life starting now.
Shown a lot on American television, It's a Wonderful Life was directed by Frank Capra and stars James Stewart. It was one of the first movies to be colourised because it was believed in the United States that audiences wouldn't watch films if they were in black and white, but they would instead view them if they were colour. This didn't...
Julian...
Oh, it wasn't repetition of colour, was it?
No.
We had colourisation.
Yeah, colourised. Yeah.
So I withdraw my challenge. Mm.
Thank you for your withdrawal. Yes, unsuccessful challenge there. This time, 15 seconds remains with you, Paul, starting now.
It's considered one of the great modern fables, this man who looks back on his life. An angel comes down from heaven and says to him, how would you do things differently if you realised that one particular aspect of your behaviour has affected the whole community? Would that transform you in...
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And Julian, I'm sure you've got lots of these knocking around. Fridge magnets from holiday. Fridge magnets from holiday. 60 seconds on that. Your time starts now.
I always bring a fridge magnet back from my holidays. I've got a sombrero from Spain, a little miniature bottle of port from Portugal, and a man with no clothes on from Amsterdam. Every time I look at them, it takes me back to the joyful days I spent in that vicinity, and I now never leave the shores of wherever I might be visiting without collecting a lovely fridge magnets. I'm using the plural because...
Anna.
Oh, hesitation.
Yes, so it was a little bit of a winding down there. So, yes, correct challenge. Anna, you get the subject of fridge magnets from holiday. 30 seconds starting now.
I only...
Paul.
There was a big gap.
Yes.
OK, I was just trying to take in some oxygen before I...
You have plenty of opportunity to do that before she says your time starts.
I do believe this is the moment where I might give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, you've got 28 seconds on fridge magnets from holiday and your time starts now.
I only have one fridge magnet from holiday. Skopelos was the destination, a place I love to go, tan myself, drink margaritas and eat delicious food like vine leaves stuffed with yummy produce from that area, a.k.a. Greece.
Oh, I know what this is going to be, you fiend. Go on.
A-K-A.
Your challenge, Paul.
Repetition of A.
Yes. Oh, yes, a correct challenge. Paul, obviously a very experienced player of the game, has got in with just 6 seconds remaining on fridge magnets from holiday. And your time starts now.
When I came back from Los Angeles, I had several fridge magnets, which I immediately stuck on my fridge. There was one illustrated... Yeah.
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And Anna, the subject is with you now. And this is a classic subject. Mulled wine. What do you tell us about mulled wine in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
Mulled wine is the subject I'm going to talk to you about without even breathing for a second.
I wouldn't do that. Just another bit of advice.
Was that a...
No, was that definitely breathe, definitely breathe.
Is that a medical intervention rather than an intervention?
It was a medical intervention. I didn't want to sort of be applying mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because that would be repetition of mouth.
Yeah. Yes, it's an important medical intervention, I think, but not one within the rules of just a minute, so you keep the subject, Anna, with 53 seconds remaining on mulled wine, and your time starts now.
Mulled wine has got me into a lot of sticky situations. It's one of those jolly drinks where you glug it down, not really realising how much you're imbibing, and before you know it, you are indeed on a stretcher being whisked off to your local NHS ward, hospital, and having your stomach pumped often. That's not happened to me because I have children, so I would never drink irresponsibly.
Julian.
Repetition of drink.
A drink and drinks. Jolly drinks and drink. Incorrect challenge, Julian. And so that means you have mulled wine and 22 seconds starting now.
I mean, of course, mulled wine is one of a range of...
Paul. She stopped breathing. The very thing I warned against. Hesitation.
Absolutely. Hesitation it was. 17 seconds you've got on that delicious Christmassy beverage of mulled wine, and your time starts now.
As I found myself crawling across the Antarctic, I realised that in my backpack I had a bottle of mulled wine. Was there any way that I could open up this container and glug down the contents? I was thirsty. I knew the mulled wine would reach my inner soul, warm up my body, set my limbs afire.
Wonderful. Paul speaking as the whistle went means he gets the point, and that's the end of our first round. And I can see from the scores that Jennifer and Julian are in joint third place, Anna just ahead in second, and just ahead of them is Paul in the lead. We move to our next round now, and back with you, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Your subject is rival towns. What can you tell us about rival towns in 60 seconds? Starting now.
I once saw a sign at a railway station, Hemel Hempstead, and it was about a new discotheque that opened up, and the slogan on the poster said, "Hard luck, London, Watford's done it again." And it's always amused me because I think that Watford has really no...
Julian.
Oh.
Repetition of Watford.
Absolutely
no,
right.
No, Watford's done it again, and Watford. Oh. I know, it's horrible, really, isn't it?
Do you know what? He got me as well, I have to say that. I was absolutely certain that he'd repeated that, but you're right, Paul, to defend yourself. There was an apostrophe in that.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
An incorrect challenge, according to the rules of just a minute, and 44 seconds remaining on rival towns starting now.
You look at various rivalries going on between towns and you wonder what kind of people say to themselves, "I think that we are better than Burnley or Blackburn or maybe somewhere in the south like, I don't know, Ostrich." Ostrich? Ostrich Town, near Canterbury. Where do the ostriches come from?
Wonderful. Anna, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Correct, yes. There was a little bit of hesitation there at the end. I feel we've been talking about rival towns forever, but there's 30 seconds remaining.
Yes, I do apologise.
No, not at all. Anna, so correct challenge. Rival towns, please. 30 seconds starting now.
Sue is correct. The notion of rival towns is a little bit turgid. So I'm going to turn our attention to twinned towns, which I know a lot more about.
Julian.
Well, that would be deviation.
Yes. It would. Unfortunately, Julian's absolutely right. I think you've fairly pegged yourself there as a deviator from the subject on the card, which was rival towns. 19 seconds, Julian, to dazzle us with rival towns starting now.
In my youth, I was a member of the Teddington Massive, and we couldn't bear the Twickenham lads. We would have a ruck every Friday night in Bushy Park. I went home once with my blazer torn and my knuckles red raw. My mother said, "What's happened to you?" I said, "It's rival towns." We had it out large, and I can't tell you, even today...
Julian, speaking as the whistle went, got the point. And Jennifer, we move to you. Snakes and ladders. Snakes and ladders is your subject. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
Snakes and ladders is a board game.
Anna.
I'm sorry, but I think that was hesitation.
Ooh. No.
Oh, my gosh.
That was just my heart beating.
Yeah. Just my
it's going to go wrong soon, so don't worry.
I've decided that Jennifer will keep the subject, bearing in mind we have two newish players of the game and both will be given fulsome opportunities to speak. 55 seconds remains on... Yes!
Am I allowed to repeat what I've just said?
No!
Oh, no!
So, you've got 55 seconds on Snakes and Ladders starting now.
Snakes and Ladders is generally found in a compendium. You fold it out and there is painted on the cardboard a grid. And amongst the grid, some snakes and... the grid! How many seconds did I manage? Two?
Oh,
three.
No, you did well. You were down to 41. Julian, your challenge.
Yes, you were gridlocked with two grids.
You were brought down by the grid. It's a correct challenge. 41 seconds remaining, Julian. The subject, need I remind you, Snakes and Ladders, starting now.
Snakes and Ladders is, of course, a board game, but also, I feel, correct me if I'm wrong, a metaphor for life. Imagine...
Paul!
You're wrong.
I'm about to explain.
Oh, no, please explain.
Paul, I enjoyed the challenge, but Julian continues according to the rules of just a minute. 33 seconds remaining, starting now.
Imagine if you were Liz Truss. Oh, I'm an MP. I'll go up a ladder. I'm Foreign Secretary now. This is going so well. Oh, can't believe it. I am Prime Minister. My dreams have come true. Straight up those ladders. Next thing you know, oops, she's on a snake and she's right back down. This is a Snakes and Ladders game made flesh. And I think Paul Merton now will be eating his words, telling me I was wrong when, of course...
Well, Julian, you ended that subject and, indeed, you take on the mantle of the next one. And another timely offering, turkey sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Jennifer likes that one.
Oh, I like that one.
Well, if you buzz, you can get in.
Oh, okay.
Turkey sandwiches, your time starts now.
Turkey sandwiches. I hear the word yum from the contestant to my right, but it's yuck that's coming out of my mouth. Cold meat between two bits of pasty bread. It's a very insipid, anemic-looking snack, if you ask me. And we all know that the turkey that you have the day before is too big. Why do we bother? We have to use it up the following day with turkey sandwiches. You could liven it up with a bit of cranberry sauce, gives it colour. But frankly, it makes me yawn. And it's a well-known fact that turkey sends you to sleep. Did you know that? Well, you do now. And turkey sandwiches, I think, should be banned. We should give all the...
Anna.
Repetition.
Of.
Should.
Oh, yes, she's not wrong. 17 seconds remaining, Anna, on turkey sandwiches, and your time starts now.
I agree with Julian. They are absolutely yuck. In fact, I have a sandwich phobia, so I couldn't go anywhere near that kind of item on Boxing Day as a leftover choice for me. It would be disgusting. The reason...
Anna speaking as the whistle went, and so gets that point. And that brings us to the end of our second round. Oh, it's tight, tightly bunched, the pack. Jennifer just narrowly in fourth place, with Julian just ahead, and Anna just ahead in second, and ahead of her, Paul. We move now to our third round. I'm interested, Paul, this is your topic. If you were ever one of these, we'll find out, I'm sure. Boy Scouts is your subject, and you've got 60 seconds on that. Your time starts now.
The Boy Scout movement was founded by Lord Baden-Powell at the beginning of the last century. I was never myself a Boy Scout. It looked like a sort of miniature version of the army. There was a uniform you had to wear, certain signals that boys would pass from one to the other, and it never really appealed to me.
Julian.
You've been never twice.
Yes,
repetition of never.
Yeah, nevered. Yeah. You've been double nevered.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sad to think of you not as a Boy Scout.
No, I didn't want to. It is
mini-army, isn't it?
It is mini-army.
A little bit mini-army. Well, we'll see if the uniform and indeed the whole mini-army vibe is something that appealed to Julian after that challenge. Julian, correct challenge. 42 seconds remaining, please, on Boy Scouts, and your time starts now.
I was a Boy Scout. I dibbed and dobbed for 1 week only. But do you know you have to wear green and yellow? And quite frankly, with my complexion, it didn't suit me. So the next week, I said, I'm not going back to be a Boy Scout. You can shove it. So I joined the Sea Scouts instead, a much more wholesome activity. But Boy Scouts is the title of this minute, and I will return to it, because otherwise there will be trouble. Boy Scout, perhaps I should have another go at it, but of course there would be talk then. But...
Oh, that Christmassy theme really warmed my heart. Speaking as the whistle went, well done, Julian. Fabulous, fabulous work. Now, Jennifer, we're back with you.
Oh.
And, oh, what a cracker, the acting legend that is Rita Hayworth. What can you tell us in 60 seconds, without hesitating, repeating or deviating, about Rita Hayworth? And your time starts now.
Rita Hayworth was a very famous movie star in the 1940s. More than that, she was a screen siren, a sex goddess. Her most famous film was, in fact, Gilda, in which she starred with Glenn Ford. She once said, "Men go to bed with the woman in the film, but wake up with me," which was a great disappointment. She was married four or five times, most famously to Orson Welles himself, a genius of the silver screen. And she then... I'm so sorry. I just needed to breathe. I could feel myself just curling up into a little ball at that point.
That was a wonderful run. Will you please stop doing yourself down? It was a wonderful run. This is a hard game, and our newbies are smashing it. End of. Julian, you challenge, my lovely.
Yes, a tragic hesitation.
I know, it was. It was self-enforced.
Tragic. You offered it up.
I did. I wanted somebody to stop me. to do something. Intervention. I was crying out for it.
Yeah, well, listen... You spoke for 37 seconds. Well done, you. Julian, correct challenge. You get the subject. 23 seconds remaining. Rita Hayworth, and your time starts now.
When I was a Boy Scout, nothing got me going like a photograph of Rita Hayworth. Me and the lads after night lights out in the town.
Your challenge.
Well, he's a deviation, I think, hesitation. He was only in the Boy Scouts for a week, so he didn't hang about with his devotion to Rita Hayworth, but there was a hesitation, sadly.
There was a hesitation. Yes, correct challenge. And you've got the subject with 15 seconds remaining, Paul. Rita Hayworth, your time starts now.
One of her famous films was The Lady from Shanghai, directed by her then-husband Orson Welles, who annoyed the studio heads by having her hair cut and dyed blonde. And they thought this was a terrible idea. But actually, as a movie, it works incredibly well. It's a film noir. Oh.
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point there. Well done to you. And we move to you, Julian. The bark is worse than the bite is your subject. Can you speak without hesitating on this? Your time, 60 seconds worth of it, starts now.
The bark is worse than the bite is certainly true of my little dog, Veronica. She bites occasionally, but just gnawing at your fingers, she can do no harm, doesn't draw blood. But the bark goes right through you. My ears are bleeding after a few minutes of that. But she's a darling little dog. But she epitomises the phrase, the bark is worse than the bite.
Did we have dog before?
We did have double dog.
We had a repetition of dog, sadly.
Yes, your dog, Veronica. And then the repetition just now. Yes, correct intervention, Paul. So 37 seconds is all yours. The bark is worse than the bite, starting now.
Well, I suppose it's one of those phrases that indicates that somebody's anger isn't as bad as their actual retribution against you as a person. You might well be in a situation where somebody says, "I'm going to take you outside and give you a damn good thrashing," but then you realise what they actually mean by that is something that's got nothing to do with it. So the other day, I was walking across the street and I saw this man coming towards me dressed as an ostrich, and I said...
Julian.
He's deviating now. He's just going off into one of his fantasy rambles.
Oh! I see, every time I say the word ostrich, I'm being challenged. Is that the secret word? We're not allowed to say ostrich.
It's a Radio 4 safe word.
It's outrageous.
It was a slight deviation, but I feel minded to at least see if Paul can route back to the subject. He hadn't quite finished where he was going, I
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So 16...
I didn't know where I was going.
Well, you've got 16 seconds to get there, otherwise Julian can challenge again. Your time starts now.
One thinks of Shakespeare when one hears a line like, "The bark is worse than the bite." I can imagine Sir Ian McKellen standing on a stage at the Old Vic saying to the audience, "The bark is worse than the bite." What is the actual...
Paul, speaking as the whistle went.
Absolute rubbish it was, wasn't it?
I'm going to give Julian an extra point, because you're right,
you.
It was deviation
was
in the
right,
end.
I
gave him the
that.
Opportunity, but well done. Yeah. And we're on to the final round. Anna, have you ever tried this? Downward dog, that's your subject. Downward dog. We'll find out. Can you speak on 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the subject? Downward Dog, and your time starts now.
Oh, Sue, I've done Downward Dog a lot. I've done it so much that I felt pulls, tugs, achy muscles all over my body. In fact, I'm sort of a yogic master. I think you can see by my general demeanour and the way I'm sitting here, my posture slumped over this table, as I drone into this microphone on the subject of highfalutin poses that I can only dream about doing. I think it's something to do with your bum in the air, your head down by the mat, and stretching all those lovely back, calf and thigh muscles. I'm definitely going to try it when I get home, and I hope all you do too, when you find a bed, that is. I know that only a few of you are deviating into a terrible area. Please, thank you.
Jennifer, your challenge.
She had strayed.
It was winding down, but I saw
it was winding
hadn't,
down
because you spoke
strayed.
For 52 seconds.
I know.
Which is an extraordinary achievement for someone who's not played the game very much.
It was amazing.
But it was a correct
truly
challenge, Jennifer.
Amazing.
There was a bit of hesitation there.
Yeah.
And it was an excellent poach from you because it means you get Downward Dog. I can't wait to hear about this. You've got 8 seconds to reveal your yogic secrets to the audience, starting now.
I have tried Downward Dog. You put your head down and you are shaped like a peg. I remain...
Jennifer was speaking as the whistle went, and so she got the points. And that brings us to our final scores. In joint third position, we have our two new players of the game, both of whom have excelled themselves today, Jennifer and Anna. In second place, we've got Julian, and just narrowly out ahead, today's winner, Mr. Paul Merton. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thank you to all of our players of this game today. Paul Merton, Jennifer Saunders, Julian Clary and Anna Maxwell-Martin. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and, of course, to the wonderful Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 glorious years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully with great aplomb. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.